John Decker, own White House correspondent. John, I don't know if you know, there's an eclipse this afternoon. How are you, John?
I did know that. Unfortunately, we're not in the path of totality as far as the eclipse is concerned, but certainly I'm following it very closely. I think we get about 85% totality here in Washington, D.C.
Well, I know, John, you kind of hang around with the mucky-mucks in D.C. and travel covering the president, but I've invited you to Portsmouth before, but in northern New Hampshire, because we're a small physical state, beautiful state, but in northern, the tip, Coos County, in the tip of northern New Hampshire, we're in the total path. You should see the traffic starting this weekend, John, including
That's
this
remarkable.
More, like, basically from Boston 93 North. It has to be over 100,000 people coming in. I sat in traffic today for 35, 40 minutes, just like a standstill like that, 12 miles when you're outside of D.C. and you don't go anywhere.
Yeah, that's unbelievable. So let me ask you this. What's the weather like? Will there be a cloudless sky for this eclipse?
Absolutely beautiful day. Clear blue skies, plenty of sunshine until it gets covered up. Hey, speaking of some other stuff, I don't know if I want to see President Biden or Trump with these glasses on today, but Trump had a big fundraiser, and he's going to come out today and I think talk about the states deciding on abortion policy, but big stuff going on.
Well, that's right. Over the weekend, raising a remarkable figure. According to the campaign, $50.5 million raised from a fundraiser in Palm Beach. And that far eclipses, if you pardon the pun, the amount raised by Joe Biden just a few weeks ago at Radio City. I think he raised about $26 million. As far as the position on abortion, his position has changed once again. Putting out a social media post before it was where Donald Trump was urging the party to go forward with a 15-week ban on abortion. Now he says that the issue of abortion should be decided specifically by each individual state. So I think that Donald Trump recognizes this is an issue which could be problematic for Republicans in the way that it was in the 22 midterm election cycle. I think that's the reason why Democrats still control the Senate and there was no red wave as far as the House is concerned.
Yeah, certainly it's going to be a hot button issue. I know in states like New Hampshire, even though we have no restrictions for the first, the first 6 months, I believe, no restrictions, only the last trimester. I'm sure there's still going to be a big issue here. And, of course, we'll keep an eye on everything else coming out of the weekend. John Decker, our own White House correspondent. Thank you, John.
Thank you, Jack.
But Carolyn LeBlanc is with New Hampshire Eye Associates. She's the practice administrator, and Carolyn's nice enough to join us live this morning. Good morning, New Hampshire, the pulse of an H, right up into Portland, Maine, talking about the do's and the don'ts when it comes to eye safety during the eclipse. Carolyn, good morning. Thanks for being with us.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
All right. So what are some of the obvious ones, other than what we were told as kids, don't stare at the sun at all? Take it away.
Yes. That's it. Don't stare at the sun. You know, you could, and you still can, I think, get your hands on some of the glasses that are certified solar filters, and they're 1,000 times darker than regular glasses. And that's really wearing those or using projection to see this eclipse are the only safe ways. My daughters ask all the time about staring at the sun, and I said it causes such damage that it's just not worth it. I was looking this weekend online, and there's some very cool and creative ways to use the projection to see it. Otherwise, you have to wear those glasses. And I know I've had some folks ask about, and even patients, you know, where they say, oh, well, we were told that in the totality we can take off the glasses. And while that may be somewhat true for the totality, like in this area of Manchester in particular, we're only at 95% at 3:30.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So it's still incredibly risky. So really just don't look at the sun without having that protection.
My understanding is on any time, let's not just eclipse aside for a moment.
Correct.
Beautiful summer day, for example. You're out in the water, you're hiking. If you stare too long at the sun, you can get those burn marks in the retina, correct?
Correct. Yes. And you still, you know, you have glasses that help, but even, you know, at least I've witnessed it when, if I'm wearing my sunglasses and it's a super bright day, sometimes that's not even enough.
Right.
And I'm not looking at the sun. So you can just imagine, you know, the damage that you can cause, and it's just not worth it.
Yeah. And I've had a checkup with your great folks in the past, and my last eye checkup, I've been outdoors my whole life, skiing, on the water, hiking. I'm not always, I wear a baseball cap a lot. That's kind of a trademark with me, I guess. But a lot of people, you know, the last few checkups, the eye doctor has said, you know, you really should start wearing good protective sunglasses whenever you're out as you get older, because you have wear and tear. Not bad, but wear and tear, especially if you've been outdoors a lot and not like in a basement. And, you know, polarized, good, I'm not saying Ray-Ban, but, you know, good quality sunglasses are probably better than not in terms of average use. But again, today, the temptation is going to be great for people to look up during this thing. And your advice is?
Don't. Not without protection. And I think it's going to be, the temptation will be there, and it's going to feel more natural because it will be darker. That you will think, you know, you're kind of fake protected because it's darker. And it's still, though, no different than looking directly in the sun right now in this very moment. So those solar glasses, and making sure, too, that those glasses are in good condition, that there's no cuts in them and that they look to be in good working order. Otherwise, those rays can still get through. So,
and part of my concern, Carol, New Hampshire Eye Associates, and, of course, they have a big footprint in the state's largest city and beyond. But, Carolyn, is some of the fake stuff that people might have been ordering a month or two ago online, no disrespect, I'm not going to use names, but you want to make sure that whatever Eclipse glasses you bought and purchased or ordered are legit and not fake, correct?
They have to be ISO certified, yes. And, you know, you can Google even. I was looking at See Science Center has some great information about what to look for to know that they're legitimate, you know, glasses to be worn, and that's just as important, because if you go for a knockoff, it's not going to be any different than just wearing your sunglasses. So you really want to, and it's, you know, for us here at New Hampshire Eye, we kind of joke about being like nervous about it, just because it is so severe if you're not protected properly. You know, even us as employees, we're like, oh gosh, like, should we go out there? Yeah. Should we wear the glasses? What, I mean, it's just a different level of concern.
And my worry, Carolyn, is, you know, people, I don't want to get into what you think, everyone, we all, you know, I respect people's whatever they want, but there's a lot of people just viewing this as a big social event. And I get it to a point, because there's a lot of distraction. People are stressed out. There's been a lot of awareness on this day, this event this afternoon, a lot of historical significance pointed out on how rare this is. It's in the middle of the afternoon. We here, by the way, unlike some of the states that may be in the path where clouds are moving in, we have a beautiful sunshine, blue sky day here. So I think sometimes people, like any event, and I mentioned earlier, like a Michigan or Ohio State football game, they get a little carried away. They might be at a location that they're partying and forget, hey, it's cool to look up. It's dark. I'm going to stare at this thing. And then might have some damage that might last. I'm not trying to sound like overreaction, but you got to be careful because you could have damage. You could hurt your eyes for an hour and a half of just partying.
Right, or even less than that.
Yeah.
I mean, just a few minutes, not even of staring straight at. And I do think that I feel it in healthcare that, you know, we're more aware of it, whereas some of the folks that maybe are not don't realize the harm, which is why all of the news and the information that's been out is incredibly helpful, hopefully.
Yeah. And I worry, too, sometimes, Carol and LeBlanc, before we let you go, you know how people today rely so much on this thing in our hand called the, you know, cell phone, it's computer. So sometimes if you have, like, bad allergies or a headache during the allergy season, the old Google causes of a headache. And that's a scary thing because, you know, you can whip yourself up. My point is, some people have sort of said, you know, is it okay if I look at the sun during the eclipse for a minute or two? I've heard it's okay. And they might read a bogus story where someone has sort of posted something. It's not going to hurt you. You really should go to, do you recommend any sites, or whether it's astronomical, astronomy sites, or, good locations where you can get the do's and don'ts you've talked about?
Yep. So locally, Sea Science Center has a lot of information and redirects you. The American Academy of Ophthalmology has some great information, and so does NASA. They have a lot of good tips and realistically what you can do to safely view it.
All right, CJ.
Hey, Carolyn, CJ here on the boards with Jack. We had a caller just call in and asked about sun tanning glasses or goggles that you wear when you're in, like, a tanning booth.
It's a good question.
And we just wanted to know if you had any, like, coverage on that and what your thoughts were.
So I would say, from my understanding, is I still wouldn't trust them only because, you know, I don't know that they're ISO certified.
Yeah, and then
that's the push.
And even a good polarized pair of, like, a lot of people fish. I had one person who is a bass fisherman, and it's a good point. I mean, he wears he gets like $150, $60 polarized glasses because of the glare on the water when you're fishing. And even those I don't think you want to use too long in lookup, right?
Right, because that's still, you know, it's a glare. It's helpful in that condition, you know. But you're talking about looking at the sun, which is far more riskier.
All right, Carolyn, I know you're busy. Yep. Thank you to the great team at New Hampshire Eye Associates. Thank you so much.
I appreciate it. Thank you, guys. Have a great day.
Doug Tengden, World Market Advisors out there, talking a little bit about, we'll talk Mother Nature for a moment, then some inflationary numbers coming out this week, which could determine, or CPI, whatever they call it, whether the Fed does lower rates, for example, in June or not. Good morning, Doug.
Good morning, Jack. It's a beautiful day here, that's for sure.
Yeah, beautiful day. No clouds in our area for this viewing thing. Now, Doug, when you were at Dartmouth, like, years ago as a student, did anyone come up to you and say, "Hey, dude, hey, Doug, where's the path to totality? Is it around the, was that during the winter carnival at Dartmouth?"
Yeah, you know, I went to college in the early 80s, Jack. That was a 60s thing, I think.
All right. Well, what do you have for us?
Just really quickly, if people don't have the glasses but want to see the eclipse, you can go to the NASA's website, the Goddard and NASA Goddard pinhole projector. Just Google that, and you can make one out of a cereal box. It's a pretty cool little video. You don't have to watch any ads to watch it, and then you can actually watch it very safely in a pinhole projector. You're not looking at it; you're looking at the projection of it. But I'll just say about traffic, we came up from the south on 91, and it was twice as heavy as usual. But instead of seeing three cars in the distance, we saw six. It was not heavy traffic yesterday.
Yeah.
Coming north. But I think it is pretty heavy now.
Oh,
Doug, looking at Google Maps.
Doug, 93 north, south of Manchester. I sat for 40 minutes like a parking lot. It usually takes me 12 minutes this morning.
And I think if you look at Google Maps, the Franconia Notch is probably a parking lot. That's for sure.
Yeah. People are going up to Coos County. Doug, give us some economic predictions this week.
Well, I'll just say that on Friday we had the sun of economic predictions, and that was the employment report, which no two ways about it. The employment report was way above expectations, and jobs are just hopping. And I'll take back my comments about this being a fragile economy. It's really strong. It over 300,000 jobs when everyone's expecting in the low twos and maybe 100 and some odd. So much higher job growth than expected. This week we will get CPI, and the Fed is looking primarily at CPI and PCE. Those inflation numbers, and they're looking to be a little more sticky. The proverbial last mile of inflation is turning out to be harder for the Fed to see it head towards the Fed's goal than they expected. But still, I expect the Fed to cut rates, just not as much as previously thought.
Well, the most they're going to cut it is a quarter of a point, right?
At each time, that's correct.
Right.
And we went into the year expecting six Fed cuts for 1.5%. Now the market is expecting only 0.5% of Fed rate cuts. And who knows? I mean, if the economy keeps growing, the Fed doesn't have to cut rates.
Right.
They're not pushing it. It's just that they eventually will, because 5.5%, it's way above where inflation is. It is in restrictive territory. the question is simply one of timing.
All right, Doug Tangdon, thank you very much, Doug. And best website to learn more is?
It's worldmarketadvisors.com. Worldmarketadvisors.com is where I work, and worldmarketupdate.com. World Market Update is my educational website.
All right. Thank you, Doug.
Jack, you have a great week, and enjoy the eclipse.
All right. Thank you. And Phil Topps, we're a media sponsor of this. I'm looking forward to that whole period. But Phil's on with us this morning. Now, he has a pretty cool place up north. I don't know if he's got the eclipse glasses on already. Please tell me you don't, Phil. But good morning. I want to talk about how people need to mark this on their calendar and how they can get involved. How are you?
Good morning, Jack. And is that eclipse today? I was confused as to what day that was.
CJ, breaking news. It's this afternoon. The world is stopped.
I know, Phil. I know I got to protect the dogs, right? During that, keep the dogs away from the window. I think that's what I got to do.
Put them inside. By the way, I saw on your social, you have a new addition, too. Don't you?
One-year anniversary.
Addition. Okay.
I surprised my wife with yet another liver and white English Springer Spaniel. She decries all the time, but she loves this dog more than me.
Oh, I thought you brought another puppy.
It worked out pretty good.
I thought you brought another puppy home. Hey, let's talk seriously. This is an event.
Yeah.
I want to put a word out to some businesses that listen to the show regularly. If you're a business owner and you want to be a sponsor of the Tuna Open, whether it's Deckhand, Boyson, Phil's going to talk about the levels. They're quite affordable, and you can support the SEALs and have some fun and go over there and be part of that. You may not know about it. It all kicks off. Tell us the who, what, when, where, Phil.
Jack, July 27th through August 2nd this summer out of the Yankee Fishermen's Co-op in Seabrook, New Hampshire, we are so excited to bring a Tuna Pro Open to New Hampshire. The ability, I mean, as long as you got a boat, you can sign up. It's about $1,800 for a boat. You got three of those 5 days to go out and fish, and whoever catches the largest tuna wins. It's really very, very exciting, and for a great cause, obviously. All of this is to raise money for our veterans. The struggle continues, right, Jack? The numbers all going in the wrong direction, more homelessness, suicide rate continues to go up. So in between all the fun and everything we're having, our veterans are still struggling, and our veteran service organizations, Jack, need more money. And as you know, we're getting all of our veteran service organizations together with the VA and the state next week on April 16th at the Courier, and that's going to be the subject of what we're going to be talking about. Why are all the numbers up? How do we stop that?
Yeah.
And honestly, how do we raise more money for our veteran service organizations? And one way is this awesome tuna tournament to hopefully we can appeal to a new group that want to contribute.
You know, if I'm a business owner and I want to sponsor some level of this and support the SEALs, the Navy SEALs, the museum, and all the programs you do locally to help and support our veterans, you know, I don't know, I said on my show the other day, you don't have to weigh in. I'm a little tired, not of the equip stuff, Phil. Everyone's worried about everyone's rights and what they're entitled to in this country, if you haven't noticed lately. I mean, heck, I don't want to get into it, but the southern border tends to be a problem. You can come here and you get free stuff. They start worrying about all this stuff in Massachusetts and sanctuary, this and that. We're not taking good enough care of our veterans, less than 1% serve. So if I'm a business owner, I want to help make a difference, Phil. Tell me about the levels of sponsorship for the Tuna Open.
Jack, you know, we love this opportunity to get all the local businesses involved, right? They don't necessarily have to be selling fishing rods or whatever. I mean, the local restaurants. Where we're set up in Seabrook, right, the height of the summer, you know, thousands of tourists. There's a lot of visibility for all of our local businesses. So we hope everyone's going to get involved, you know, for as little as $500 all the way up to $15,000. There's some great levels here. And, of course, whoever jumps in as a sponsor here for our fishing tournament will be a sponsor at all of our other events. We have six other major events during the year. So, you know, lots of eyeballs, Jack, on all of the everything that we're doing. And so we hope a lot of our businesses are going to get involved. You know, a number of businesses like Bank of America, very well known, you know, great contributor to the community, has jumped in already. Outdoor Pride, that's Mark Aquilino. They're going to be a lead sponsor for this as well. And, of course, we're very grateful that you and your show and Binney Media are going to help us out with this, Jack.
Yeah, and, you know, I think it's pretty cool. And you've actually come up with a whole different, you have a special website, correct, that people can go to learn more? Because you think of SWAM, SWAM.org, for Swim with a Mission, but you have one just for this fishing tuna tournament later July.
It's a lot like the SWAM one. Obviously, you can go to SWAM.org and you can find it. But also, if you go to SWAM.org/fishwithamission, pretty simple, SWAM.org/fishwithamission, there's a ton of information there about a Tuna Pro Open. And actually, Jack, you know, there's the big prize, but every day that the guys come in with their boats, there'll be prizes for whoever was caught the biggest fish. And I know you love fishing and you love this world, but is there anything cooler than when they string up that huge fish? And what are those fish worth, Jack? Like $10,000, $15,000? Well, I mean, it's amazing.
That would be a good one. You know, a lot of times it really depends. One thing that's really cool about tuna fishing, it's total market driven. And it has to do with the fat quality, the tuna, the meat. It really depends on seasonal stuff. But sometimes they can fetch a lot. And some of the people that will be taking part in this, that one or two tuna that they're able to sell out there or when they come in will pay for their season, because those tuna rods, the boat, the maintenance, heading out, it takes some money to be a tuna captain. So it's really cool to see them. They're wonderful. And I've had stories from friends of mine like Mark Arsenault, Spinal Liner. He takes people up, and he goes out a lot when they're running. Or Neil Ovech, you know Neil, his brother. When they mark and they get a hold of one, I mean, sometimes it can be, they're in for a fight, and they are an amazing experience when they're running. So I think it's going to be a wonderful event. And if you're a business owner, for just a grand or two, go to the Swim with a Mission, SWAM.org, or Google the Tuna Open, swimwithamission.org, and sign up today to be, I think it's deckhand level sponsors, a great one, and take part in the event. We're going to have some events over there through my show as well. Love to have you come by and be part of the whole week. So we'll get you back again, but I wanted to stir it up and take some mind off the Eclipse mania.
Yeah, no, I appreciate it. What do you think the odds are that Neil and his brother place in this thing?
Well, Neil's real good at marking the tuna. But he has a hard time catching him. He has his brother there to help. His brother brings him in, and we're reaching out to the Wicked Tuna guy. You're going to have about 40 or 50 boats, right? Tuna boats.
Yeah, we already have more than 30 signed up, so we're hoping to get to 60 boats. But for our tourists and people in the area, they'll be able to stop by every day at the Seafood Co-op in Seabrook, and there'll be seals hanging out. We'll have a tent set up. It's going to be a lot of fun.
All right. Thank you, Phil. Good stuff. Good stuff as you get going.
All right.
Thank
Enjoy
you.
Enjoy the Eclipse.
All right.
Thanks,
come back,
Jack.
Dan Leonard. Good morning. The Pulse of NH. How are you?
Hey, man. Hey. I'm well. How are you?
So are you in an area where you're going to get the path of totality this afternoon?
I don't think I'll be total. I may be partial. But, I think, Jack, if you put on the entire album Dark Side of the Moon by Pink Floyd, you could get in the car and maybe make it to Concord right now on your way up to see.
It is. Dan, you're from here. You should see. It's like a parking lot out there. People are coming from, I don't know where they're coming from, but trying to get a sneak peek up north. But real quickly, and I don't know about you, but I don't need to see Joe Biden and Trump wearing the Eclipse glasses today, these politicians. It's like a must photo op. I don't need to see it. But let's talk about healthcare in a different way. And I don't know where you want to start, because you've written some great op-eds about policy, and it may be for a Washington crowd, but sort of peel back the onion a little bit on what we need to, how we shake this thing up so it works better for patients and doctors, because right now I don't see it working terribly well.
Yeah. Well, and at the end, we should come back to Biden and Trump wearing those glasses, because if you recall the last partial eclipse, Trump didn't wear the glasses. He stared at the sun, and the left went crazy on that. So you can't win wearing them. You can't win if you don't wear them.
I recall that.
Remember that? He's standing at the White House on the on the deck without the glasses, and everybody went nuts. But look, in healthcare, there's so much we can cover. But I guess the bottom line, I would say, is everything that you're experiencing in your healthcare at home in New Hampshire is impacted by the policy that is written in Washington. So that's where I've spent most of my career since the good old days when you and I worked together, is trying to understand and have a little impact on what the policies are that do impact individuals' health. So I've worked in the health insurance sector. I've worked in the generic drug sector. I've worked in the brand drug sector. Right now I'm doing a lot of work for an organization called We Work for Health, which is a coalition of life science companies, mm-hmm. That really seeks to advance the understanding and the impact of the sector, life science sector. So, if we're looking at that, the sector, as a whole, most people understand it's a big business. But in the state of New Hampshire, healthcare is, if we take a macro view, healthcare is big, it's important, and it's growing in New Hampshire like nobody's business. Everybody knows about your amazing hospitals you have up there. Dartmouth Hitchcock is the fourth largest employer in the state. Wentworth Douglas, Concord, Elliott, CMC, thousands of jobs in the states in the hospitals. And everybody sees that. But you have a R&D sector that's really booming. And this may be not something that everybody in your listenership knows that, but you have the new Advanced Regenerative Manufacturing Institute
right.
going into the mills. And Dean Kamen's been behind that, getting a lot of federal grants to basically produce human tissues and organs.
Yeah. We had Mike Cody, who's editor of the New Hampshire Business Review, New Hampshire Magazine, on just the other last week talking about that and, basically artificial eyes for the military. But keep going.
Yeah, so that's exciting. But the traditional life science sector, so biopharmaceuticals, med tech, is also growing. And New Hampshire is actually only one of four regions in the entire country that's growing. And over 11,000 jobs are in the life science sector in New Hampshire. Those are high-paying jobs, $130,000 a year is the average salary for jobs in the sector. Mm-hmm. Contributed $2.8 billion to the state last year. So those are all numbers from a new organization called NHLS, New Hampshire Life Sciences, which was recently launched. Two companies in the state, NovoCure, which has its North American flagship right there in Portsmouth, mm-hmm. Jack, and Novo Nordisk, which is a big global company, Swedish company, but their operations are in the Upper Valley. So they just came together to launch this new organization in their New Hampshire Life Sciences. So all those statistics that I was citing about New Hampshire impact are available on their website, NewHampshireLifeSciences.org. And then if you want national data, that's where WeWorkForHealth.org, the organization I'm the executive director of, has all the national data. So it's, it's important not only for healthcare, new cures and treatments for cancer and Alzheimer's, you name it, but also the economic growth and jobs that are related to the sector. And it's exciting what's coming to New Hampshire.
Well, it's interesting because some folks have heard about, but probably a couple they haven't. Of course, Lonza, big foreign-owned manufacturer of certain over at Pease International Trade Port. So I didn't think of it that way, Dan Leonard, principal Granite Capital Partners. We'll talk about that in a minute, but it is interesting because it is a growing sector, but you also have done a lot of work on how do we increase competition among healthcare because price transparency, if someone goes into one of our hospitals to have a rotator cuff, you might want to brace yourself when you get out in terms of the cost and the bills you're going to get beyond your insurance because people tend to have health insurance now for catastrophic, but healthcare costs are high. Prescription medications, I know you've done a lot of work trying to make it more generic and competitive. How do we get more competition? We have competition in every other sector, but it seems not in healthcare.
Well, it's a good observation. It's a good point. A lot of politicians like to point to the pharmaceutical sector as the primary culprit there for high costs. And there are certainly expensive medications. The newer breakthrough treatments often come with a high price. I would just say one thing I would not do to increase competition is what some of the policy that passed last year and is now underway in Washington, the IRA, the Inflation Reduction Act, which actually did nothing to reduce inflation, but created something called price drug negotiation. So the federal government yep. will now negotiate with drug companies around their pricing. Well, if you're the largest customer, i.e. Medicare, Medicaid, it really isn't a negotiation. It's a negotiation with a gun on the table, basically, is what that is. So I think the one of the things that we need to avoid is policymakers in Washington, I think, are really doing their best to eclipse the gains that the sector has made in creating innovation. Competition does come. I told you I worked in the generic industry, and that's set up. There was legislation 40 years ago called Hatch-Waxman, which created a pathway so that the innovator companies have a certain amount of time where they have brand exclusivity, and they make some money, and then the generics come in, and the prices drop through the floor. So it's been working, I would say. In the hospital sector, it's actually less. You don't see the price of open heart surgery coming down, right? So those surgeries, there is no generic surgery. You wouldn't want one if there was. It's much harder to control those costs. And there's immense regional variability. You know, what it might cost in New Hampshire might be significantly less than it costs in Boston, but more than it costs in Arkansas.
It just seems, Dan Leonard, because these are all, it just seems that the healthcare, unlike a lot of other industries, is more of a racket. And it just seems to have more special interest than any other industry I can think of, including sometimes not a lot of competition among insurance carriers. But, you know, when you get a new vehicle, if you go to one of our great sponsors like Auto Fair and you go get a new Honda CRV or Hybrid or Ford or whatever, you pretty much can look on that window and give or take $1,000. You know what you're getting, whether you buy or lease it. And it's pretty transparent, and when you get when they get a new cell phone, they might spend hours researching what plan for Apple and Android, or you get a new appliance, refrigerator or flat screen TV, you do your research. But in healthcare, people just kind of go, they have the appointment, they don't know what anything costs, they're kind of like sheep going through the system. And then all of a sudden, a lot of families, because I still think we have inflationary pressures, they get a healthcare bill that might be $900 in a month with kids and everything at home. They don't have the money to pay the bill, the budget. So it just seems that competition is something that's lacking overall.
Yeah, and that very specific case that you just mentioned, which is called surprise billing, was a big debate in Washington for the last few years. And there actually was legislation that was passed within the last year and a half, to take on surprise billing. And you should see less of those cases where you go home and then you find out that your anesthesiologist was out of network and you get this huge bill for the anesthesia that you had to have before your surgery, things like that. I think that is a policy that is a good advance where you're going to have less surprise billing on hospital visits.
Well, it's good stuff. All right, we're going to get you back.
It is definitely an area where there is more work to be done. I'm pleased that the state of New Hampshire is doing a great job in attracting new life science companies and a very vibrant sector up there.
Big part of the economy and a big part of our overall economy. Dan Leonard, Principal of Granite Capital Consulting. I appreciate it. Dan Leonard joining us with some healthcare. We'll catch you in a few weeks. Thanks, Dan.
All right. Thanks, Jack.
Rory O'Neill, NBC News Radio national correspondent, joining us. Now, his perch typically is Florida, and we haven't talked to Rory this morning yet, so I don't know. But this eclipse, I got to tell you, Rory, we have a little, Coos County, the tip of New Hampshire,
right,
starting this weekend and this morning. It was a parking lot on Interstate 93 of just cars inching up north, or to 89 north up to Burlington, Vermont, for a few moments of this thing. So, I don't know. I don't know what's going on in Florida where you are. Do you get a glimpse of this thing or no?
Yeah, not really. It's going to be about 60%, so it's not really a big deal. I did go to South Carolina back in 2017 to experience totality, but I don't know why all the hype around this one. I mean, there were crowds and busy traffic in South Carolina in 17, but I don't remember this kind of hype. I think it's just because it's affecting the New York area and all the news networks think it's a big deal, sort of like the earthquake.
It could be. I had friends growing up who followed the Grateful Dead for totality, but that's another story.
That's a whole different story. Hey, what did you think about the Donald Trump abortion position?
Well, I haven't talked that much about it, but we might be getting a call from Michael Graham. You know, I think I'm going to give you an honest answer because we have time if you want.
Sure, I have time.
I think it's a recognition, at least on his part and a lot of people, that this is probably one of the few issues, maybe the only issue, that can really have Democrats and independents circle the tent, even if they don't like Joe Biden as a choice on the Democrat side. I think Trump is smart to come out because, you know, takes away some of the guessing. But I don't know. It's a slippery slope because, you know, New Hampshire, I said earlier, we have the law, no restrictions through 6 months, none, only in the last trimester. And yet Democrats here call that an abortion ban. Trump's saying it's a state issue. I'm not saying he's wrong. Obviously, Supreme Court agrees with him, so he supports the court. It's up to the states. But I think he has to be a little more specific in terms of a presidential candidate on what his position is, because you know he's going to keep they're going to keep asking him.
Right. Well, and what if the bill ever gets to his desk, or how is he going to vote on the Florida ban that's taking effect May 1st? You know, now that it's going to go to Florida voters in November, what's he going to vote?
Yeah, I mean, he's, you know, I'll be honest, because people forget this about Trump. That's what is so funny, speaking of the total eclipse and the world gone mad. People forget when he first ran going into 2016, they didn't know if he's going to run as a Democrat, independent, or Republican. Right. He's not the most inherent, like, you know, Senator Ted Cruz kind of person. So, you know, even Governor Sununu in New Hampshire says he's pro-choice, but he signed a budget which had in it this last trimester restrictions, not the first six months. So Trump, in my opinion, doesn't seem to be a real zealot on this issue. But if you're going to be that one, it's either you or him, people are going to want to know, because it could have ramifications, especially with independent voters, on the final results.
And drive turnout. Yeah, indeed. Yeah.
All right, Roy, thank you. Enjoy your 60 or 65% total, totality.
May you have fun, guys.
Totality. Thank you.
There it is. Take care.
Tom Raffio, President and CEO of Northeast Delta, Delta Dental Radio, and stories from the starting line and the eclipse line. Hello, Tom.
Good morning, Jack. I love your show. I've been listening to every word. I mean, you. I know there's been a lot of hype about the totality, but I will admit my employees who work on campus, they were all complaining that the commute took like three times as long to get to the campus. But we are what we're going to do is between probably around 3 o'clock, maybe a little earlier. Those of us that are on campus and about a third of our employees come to campus. We're going to go on our soccer field, which has been dried out from all the snow. We've bought them all the certified glasses. I was listening to your colleague from New Hampshire Eye, so we have legitimate glasses, and we're going to have kind of a small eclipse little party with punch, and for my customers, don't worry. We will have a set of people still manning the phone, so you don't have to worry about that. So that's what we're doing. The other fun thing going on this week, as you know, Jack, is the New Hampshire Fisher Cats opener tomorrow. So I'll be at the stadium with a small group. I always love the Manchester opener of the New Hampshire Fisher Cats.
Nice weather for it tomorrow.
It's going to be perfect. And of course, meanwhile, in Boston, of course, they're going to have the Red Sox opener with the 2004 team. And as you know, when your dad as well, long-suffering Red Sox fans will never, ever forget the 2004 team, because that was got rid of a lot of the demons for the prior 86 years. So that should be another fun event. And then yesterday, we had a great race right here in Concord, the SCA 5K, which is a fundraiser for Operation Santa. So later in the year, when underprivileged and underserved children may not have holiday gifts, we use those funds, you know, to purchase gifts. So that was a great race. And then this weekend, in honor of Earth Day, we have the Stonyfield 5K on Saturday. So
that's a good it's a good Earth Week, right? With eclipse,
absolutely.
Nor'easter, eclipse, you name it.
You got it. I agree. The eclipse is the eclipse, and maybe there's a little bit of hype. But I was thinking that there is full coverage. The moon can fully cover the sun, and even though the sun is 400 times bigger, but it's also 400 times further away. So I kind of like that.
It is amazing when you think about
symmetry.
From an astronomy point of view, it is amazing that the revolving and all the stuff and how the planets work, it is amazing. It's no question. I underestimated the traffic today is all.
Yeah, I'm watching it from my office. I'm right on top of 93.
Is it still pretty heavy?
Still, it's not gridlocked though, so it's moving along. And Friday, the reason why we did our call on Thursday was Friday. I was in Burlington for the Delta Dental Plan of Vermont annual meeting, where we speak for the dentists in Vermont. And we have, by the way, we have the same veterans program in Vermont as we do in New Hampshire now, thanks to you. But boy, all the, you know, those electronic signs that they put on roads now,
there was
so much hype about the eclipse and don't pull over and watch and, you know, all that stuff. So Burlington, and you've referenced them a few times in your show this morning, they're definitely, you know, ready for the eclipse, which was why our annual meeting, we couldn't figure it out. We needed to get hotel reservations so far in advance, but then we realized because people are already there for the eclipse. So.
Yep, nope, you got it.
And Stories from the Starting Line is going well. We added a new chapter, so there's now 90 runners in the book, many of whom I saw on Sunday. And for my veterans friend, if we're seeing about five a week, if you are in pain, just give me a call at 223-1300.
Awesome.
So thanks, Jack, for all you do, and I'll talk to you Friday.
Enjoy this afternoon.
Thanks. Bye.